Hey there, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Green Mushroom Gaming. My name is Keith. I'm sitting here with a very special guest today. It's not my baby. It's your old boy, Dill. What's up, Dylan?
Howdy do.
I'm excited to have you on and talk about some League of Legends. We got Worlds happening right now. We got to sit and watch some this last weekend. That was fun. We had a little shindig at your place. That was a good time.
Yeah, agreed. Thanks for swinging by. We needed to get rid of some cheese and crackers.
Yeah.
And I figured what better time to do that than watching some of the greatest game in the world.
Right. Some beverages and some cheese and crackers and some League of Legends. We were classy as hell.
Yep.
It was fun. But we're, like I said, we're watching the Worlds happen. We're just now wrapping up the group stage. So we're heading into the quarterfinals now, yeah?
Yep, correct.
We were able to watch the last of the NA teams get knocked out of group.
Correct.
Well, who was that? It was 100 Thieves, right?
100 Thieves was the last one to get knocked out, just because of when their group played.
Yeah,
but North America ended up going, I want to say, 3-15 throughout the whole tournament. That's including the early stages against the international teams. So
ouch.
North America had a pretty poor showing.
Yeah, that sounds real bad. Real bad. I know the teams still aren't really, I mean, yeah, you're always upset you're knocked out of Worlds, but they were happy to be there. I know that much. I was reading an article today that are like, yeah, but we made it to Worlds, so that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's quite the accomplishment when it comes down to it.
Where's it take? It's here in the United States, right? You were telling me this was happening in New York, and then they're going to San Francisco.
Yeah, so they had the play-in stage where they have all the international wild card teams, is what they call it, from all the minor regions. They have a certain tournament, and like the lower seeds from North America, and Europe. And I guess from all the major regions, all the lower seeds, plus their international wild cards, all do a play-in. And from there, whoever wins their groups ends up going into group stage and then into quarterfinals. So they kind of filter out the lower performing regions that way nowadays so that the stronger teams, because let's be real, Korea and China are a lot stronger.
Yeah, absolutely.
Than any of the Western teams or any other regions when it comes down to it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they filter out the lower teams so they don't have to play some of the more higher teams and then get knocked out by way of numbers when they shouldn't be, I guess.
Yeah. Makes sense. It makes it a little more competitive on the bottom end and the top end, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You see more competitive games throughout the whole tournament that way.
Yeah, I like that. That makes sense.
So the beginning was in Mexico City, then they traveled to New York, then they traveled to San Francisco for the end.
Yeah. So these games, the quarterfinals should be in San Francisco throughout the finals, right? Yeah.
Yes, I'm pretty sure.
And we got a good set of teams to look at here. I don't know anybody anymore. I don't watch that much LCS anymore, especially outside of the United States. I don't know any of these teams.
Fair enough. So I can give it my best. So I know Rogue is a European team, the only European team left that made it out of group stage. And then I'm not sure about JDG. I'm pretty sure they are a Chinese team. T1's Korean. DK is Korean. That's Daimon Kia. Genji, I believe, is also Korean, and then EDG. So I'm guessing EDG, JDG, DRX are all Chinese. I'm pretty
Okay.
sure it's all Chinese and Korean teams plus
Yeah.
Rogue.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Maybe a Japanese team. I remember one of the Japanese teams was doing really, really well, and that could be
Okay, that's cool.
DRX.
I
Yeah.
didn't know there was a Japanese team in the mix this high.
Yeah. Or maybe it's not. It could not be Japanese. It could be like the Southeastern Asia region,
Okay.
which is Vietnam, Taiwan, and something else, but it's separate from any of the other regions. So
Right.
they just have a ton of people out there that play out there. The player base is so much bigger in the Southeast Asia that they have a lot of different leagues.
Right. The only two that I've watched play, and that was on Sunday when we were watching that group stage, is RNG and Gen G were the two teams I think that were in that group. And they were extremely dominant with everybody else. I know 100 Thieves were able to pull off a win in one of their matches, and it wasn't against either of these teams.
Right, yeah.
They're real good. I was talking to you about this. I just at this stage of League of Legends, Pro League of Legends play, I really just don't get it. Like how North America is still not as competitive as they should be. A lot of money goes into this stuff in every one of these regions. Like these teams are well funded, well practiced. They're getting players from all over the world now, you know? So it's really crazy to me that North America still doesn't have the same like mechanical and technical abilities as some of these other regions.
And just the way they fight as a team, the way they play the game is very different.
Yeah, the
Like
early game, like what you were
yeah.
telling me about when we were watching some of these group stage games, is these Chinese teams and Korean teams are often running from like very first chance they get. They're
Yeah.
looking for fights, they're looking for picks, they're looking for jungle snags. It is a rate. It's not like a sit back and let's take it slow to start out and then we'll pounce on them. They're ready to pounce
Yeah.
from the very first second.
Yeah, particularly Chinese teams have a very aggressive play style. They're very known for their aggressive play style and they're amazing mechanics, so they always want to fight because they know that if they fight 10 times, they're going to win 7 of them just out of sheer mechanics.
Yeah, even if they're a little behind, especially that early on, you can't be that far ahead or behind. So they're so mechanically sound that they're going to win those fights.
And I guess I will give North America. There is some games that I was watching throughout the. Throughout the tournament, because I watched a fair amount of Worlds already, and there were some games that they looked like it could be they could be doing it. It's 15, 20 minutes in, they're looking competitive, and then all of a sudden it some one thing happens and then they can never recover.
Yeah.
And I think part of it, I mean, some of it's got to be mental, game just. Knowing that North America has never been terribly competitive against these Chinese and Korean teams,
Yeah.
to where they can take more than one game off of them, because they can win a game here and there, but a lot of times that comes off of winning in draft and getting that perfect counter pick and that perfect team synergy and everything going right.
Yeah, and getting that one thing that'll snowball up just enough to get a good quick win out usually. But yeah, I don't know. It's still just interesting to me because another aspect of what this league is around the world now are like North America does a good job of recruiting players from other regions. You know, these teams will put up some money to bring other players in that do have these like different ideas of how the game works and their mechanical abilities are that much better, and it still doesn't seem to be doing the trick for us.
Yeah, and they, I mean, North America famously pays more, I think, than any other region for their pros.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
Their contracts are bigger than any other region in general. I'm not sure if that goes for the superstars, you know, like a Faker, I'm sure makes more than anybody in North America, but...
Yeah, for sure.
If you're considered the greatest of all time, that's to be expected.
You're in a different
league. But
also,
I don't actually know that. This is all me supposing. That's what.
Yeah, is going I mean on. That's how it would work here. I don't know how it would work in Korea or China or Europe. Yeah. Even like their contracts are probably much much different. But still, like they're not going broke doing this because especially like I know in China and Korea, these are like a lot more, it's not as niche, especially in Korea. I know that right. for a fact, like this is a big fucking deal. These guys are as big as their soccer players, their football players, you know, like, it's a big fucking deal. This game. So they gotta be well taken care of.
Yeah. And really, when it comes down to it, they're at a certain point, they're not worried about that extra however many million they could make going to North America. They want to win Worlds. They want that legacy.
Absolutely.
And they want to live at home, I mean, near their family, I'm sure. So that's probably means a lot more than extra money.
Well, and the mindset is different. Like you said, these guys are looking to be the best ever.
Right.
Like, nobody can compete with me. And that's what they're set out to do. And to be the best ever, you need to have the five best ever on your,
right.
like, the whole team has to be that good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a very much a team game. And from what I understand, it's become more and more so. Like, it used to be easier for one player to carry a team than it is now.
Right.
Now it's everybody has to be pulling a certain amount. You know, you can still carry a game in situations, but when it comes down to it, it requires everybody on the team to be that good, especially in the competition nowadays.
Right. And with some of these more aggressive play styles, you know, they will take out the weak link every time.
Right, right.
So you can't have that weak link. You have to be at that level.
Yeah, people will get feasted on.
Another big change that I was noticing and you were commenting on was just how large the champion pool was. How many champions did you say have been played so far in the tournament?
They were saying, I think, either 103, 104 the other day.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Amazing. That's
two-thirds? Yeah.
Yeah, more than, actually. So I'm pretty sure it's around 140.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just over 2/3 of the entire champion pool is viable as a pick, like in multiple areas. You can, like, it's really expanded at this level because of how well they are balancing now, like just what team comp you can put together. Like, a good example is Lucian and Nami are still very viable if you get them picked together. You know, you're not going to pick a Lucian without a Nami or a Nami without a Lucian.
Right, right.
But if you get them together, that's a viable comp. But say you don't get them, or the other team does, there's a slew of other comps that will compete with that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, I mean, there's so many different niche synergies. They you're seeing stuff like Nasus and Senna bot lane. Nasus, a traditional top lane scaling tank, but he actually works really well as a farming bot laner because Senna is very a unique champion that you can have a lot of interesting pairings with.
Right.
And Yeah, she can give him the sustain that he needs. He can wither people, which removes attack speed, attack damage,
Yeah,
and
Wither's
slows
great.
people a ton. So it's
It's a
great against ADCs.
yeah, that's a
It's,
great like catch 'em
yeah.
spell.
Yeah. Yeah, and she thrives when her support can take all the farm, especially if they're a melee support, so she can shoot her Q through them to heal them and deal damage to the enemy. So you position the Nasus between you and the enemy and shoot them, you get a double double buff basically.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
awesome. So
Yeah,
yeah,
it's
you're right. That's like she makes things interesting. And she's well balanced enough that she's not picked every single game, you know?
And usually the pairing for her is Tahm Kench or Seraphine. But yeah, then you see Nasus, you see I've seen Wukong, I've seen Sion, I've seen Ornn, I've seen Cho'Gath, all picked competitively with her throughout the last few years.
Yeah, and you were saying Amumu has become a big time support, all around support, because of his tankiness and his wacky ult, his grabs. Like he has so much going on that is able to support, and he's not really played as a jungle anymore.
Ever since he got it, he was able to stack his second grab. It makes him a lot more lethal with low itemization because he has so much crowd control that no, he can lock somebody down for so long. It's very useful even when you don't have any gold. And
Yeah.
that's kind of what supports need, is to be useful with a severe lack of gold.
Yes. Yeah. And he's doing a really good job. I saw him picked in pretty much, I don't know, it was most games anyway.
He's absolutely one of the strongest meta picks, which I
So
must
what?
say I love it when engage supports, tanky engage supports are meta in the bot lane, because it actually makes it a lot more exciting. They're a lot stronger early game than mage or than enchanters, and for the most part anyway. And then
Yeah.
it just leads to a lot more all-ins, because the support has to all in, so the ADC has to try to all in too, otherwise you're just giving up the lane.
Right. Yeah, what are some of the other like big meta picks that are who are the big champions being picked all around right now?
So tanks are pretty strong right now. So Aatrox is really good into tanks, as a general rule, so he's very contested. Sivir Yuumi is an amazing bottom lane. You see a lot of Kalista and Renata. You see Miss Fortune's really big in the meta right now. Is a blind pickable ADC. As far as junglers go, Viego
Yeah,
is up
Viego's not
there.
going anywhere. What was that one?
Vel'Koz.
Belveth? Yeah.
That champ's a blast.
Yeah, she seems really crazy.
What else? Sejuani. Sejuani's a top lane and jungle top priority pick.
Yeah,
Maokai.
I saw a lot of Maokai, a lot of Sej for sure.
Then Sylas is pretty contested mid. Azir is pretty much always either picked or banned. You see some Viktor.
Yeah, I think it was JT that was saying that he wants Sylas banned every fucking game.
That champ is something else, unless you don't know how to play him. But if you're in the pro scene,
Right.
it's obviously everybody knows how to play everything.
Yeah, they're gonna know.
Sylas is amazing, honestly.
Well, very cool. We'll have to talk more about how these worlds end up playing out. I'll have to have you back, but let's move on and talk about some of what you're playing, what you're doing in League of Legends. Let's talk about something a little more close to home. Doing a lot of customs. Who's your main boo right now?
Oh man, to be fair, I've been playing a ton of ARAMs 'cause my new wife, Has been playing League the last few months, so I've been playing with her. It's just a lot more beginner friendly to play Rems than getting into a normal game.
Yeah, especially when you're given a smaller champ pool, so it bounces you around, but it's within the same, I don't know, however many champs she has, like a dozen by now, probably.
If that, yeah, so
So
it's all
you
free
pick
league
a
champs plus a handful.
yeah, you pick a handful that you like, and then you get the free ones that you can maybe roll off of or try out if you want, and it's a great way of learning those early mechanics for sure.
A stress-free environment. And they're quick games, so it's definitely a lot more beginner friendly.
So who's that champ that when they pop up in an ARAM, there's like no way you're trading or rolling for anything?
Oh man, that's a good question. Probably lately it's been Lucian. I've been
Okay.
loving some Lucian.
He's
But
dirt
really,
nasty in an ARAM too. You just
dude, yeah.
there's no stopping that guy.
Yeah, like anytime I get an ADC, it's like, okay, yeah, I want to do this.
Yeah.
With the exception of a couple, but even then, I'll still play them because I've just been having a good time with ADCs lately. Just dealing that damage. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's like
Otherwise,
off of your norm. Usually you're the kind of like tanky bruiser gnar type guy.
exactly. Nar's also one that if he's up there, I'm like, okay, I'm playing this, guys.
Yeah.
I'm doing it. But yeah, like for the most part, when I throughout the ages, I've been more of a support laner, or a support player, or a somewhat of a top lane tank player, or maybe bruisers. But yeah, I've been really into ADCs lately.
Yeah, just nuking people or
Yeah. Yeah.
sets one that you don't turn down.
Yeah, that's very true. Play me a fair bit of set these around, some cled, all my usuals. I kind of play a whole lot of champs, so it's hard for me to narrow it down.
Yeah. What about your wife? What's Mara been playing? She's into the ADCs too, yeah.
Yeah, she's been loving ADCs. Caitlyn, well, Caitlyn not so much anymore, but Jhin is one of her favorites right now. She just bought Ahri because she's really liked Ahri lately. She likes Kayle. Yeah, she likes herself some ranged nukem kind of damage.
Yep, glass cannons with that Ahri. You could do a lot of shit, but you're gonna pop pretty quick too. She's fun though with that movement. I don't know. Ahri's a great champ.
Yeah, her playstyle is a lot of fun. It's very that they got the balance between mage and assassin really well on that one.
Yeah, definitely. Very cool, man. I'm looking to play. I played a couple of ARAMs just on my own. I think it was yesterday. I was able to get
Nice.
on in the afternoon. And I'm getting the feel for it again. I got a J4 game, and that was a lot of fun. I ended up doing pretty damn okay. I'm not going to say
Very
good,
nice.
but I did okay. And I forget who the other one was. I think I sucked. So
Did you build him tanky or damagey?
I went full damage. We had
Nice.
a Nunu and someone else on our team, so I was like, all right, I'm just gonna go full damage. So I kind of hung back and would throw a banner down and sneak in. I think we still lost. They had an Echo that was just out of control, so I was trying to take control of him, but like he was destroying our whole team.
Damn.
Yeah,
Sounds about right.
it's the way it goes.
Yeah. There's just that one guy in the lobby that's just beasting on everybody.
Yep, that's what it was. But yeah, that's as far as I've gotten. I do want to start playing more though. It's a fun game, and ARAMs are mindless fun, you know. You don't have to really put much of your heart into it like some people do with SR. And norms you shouldn't, But that's the problem with League of Legend norms that people take way too fucking seriously, man.
Yeah,
it should just be a good time, but it can't be with some people.
yeah. The sad reality is though that because if you have more gold than the enemy, you outstat them and you just beat them harder and harder. It makes it very unfun for the losing team if it gets out of control.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like that's part of why also just because it's like such a long-standing game that there's so many people that have played for so long that it's just so competitive.
Yeah, and
Keeping
some
it
of it is like because
lower.
it's a team game,
Yeah.
people like to point the finger. So sometimes you're the one getting that finger pointed at you, especially if you're like a jungle or something. It's
Oh,
an
yeah.
easy finger to point. It's like you didn't come down here enough. This is your fault. We got fucked up because of you. So I think people like to take blame off themselves a lot because there's four other people to blame it on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and everybody does tend to pick one person that's struggling and put all the blame on the one person struggling.
Yeah, sometimes it's not even like sometimes it's the person struggling that's putting it on everybody else. And sometimes it's just some dude talking out of his ass where it's like, this guy's not doing shit. It's like, what are you talking about, man? Like, yeah, I'm the reason for all your kills. That's what I'm doing.
People in the internet for you.
Yep. It's what makes League so dang fun.
Yep, it's the nasty attitude players.
Oh man. Well, thanks for joining me this week, Dill. I'm gonna have to have you back soon so we could go over the rest of Worlds because I'm liking talking about the League of Legends. Maybe we can have like Aaron and JT on to
Oh man, yeah, that would be fun.
get a whole squad.
Yeah, I'm sure they'd be down.
Fuck yeah. Well, again, thanks for hanging out with me, man.
Yeah,
But
dude, likewise, thanks for having me.
absolutely. I think we should wrap it up. So I'm going to go ahead and do that. Thank you all for listening. It's been fun. Check out our Discord. We're doing Discord things, so you can find that information in the show's information. Check out our website, greenmushroommedia.com. You can do all sorts of cool stuff there, like go to our Patreon and become a patron, like your old boy Dale here. That would be cool. What else? What else can you do? Follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook at Green Mushies. And also, we'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening, guys. Adios.